101.7 FM, 710 Keel. Mike and McCarty, Thomas Avalone in for the vacationing Aaron McCarty in studio. Two guys, y'all are more famous than us.
Yeah, whatever.
Infamous.
Mike and Mark Mangum, Twin Blends, Northwest Louisiana, History Hunters. First of all, thanks for coming out.
Thanks for asking us.
Let's talk about this 2026 Spirit of Louisiana Community Awards. What is this and how did this come about?
You want to tell them? Mark?
Yes. We got a call from Christy.
Christy
yeah. DeYoung works in Mike Johnson's office, a friend of ours, and she called us the other day and she said, "Are y'all both together?" And she told us, she said, "Y'all are going to be honored among other people. Speaker Johnson's coming in town, and y'all are going to be honored with a congressional commendation. And it's the 2026 Spirit of Louisiana Community Award for our work in the community with Twin Blends." And we were blown away. We were so excited. And so they had it last Thursday, and we got there. And we got to go up on stage and receive the award commendation and a little challenge coin. It's a big challenge coin. It's really nice. Anyway, and
it's a big medallion.
Yes, yeah, big medallion. So
With the Speaker of the House and his logo, and
we were able to get pictures and all that with there. And as soon as we went across the stage, he introduced us and he said, "These guys, this is Twin Blends, Northwest Louisiana History Hunters. Everybody knows who they are. Matter of fact, their posts come up on my feed every morning." First thing every morning, we were blown away. We thought that was so awesome. So,
now, the problem is those medallions, they just had some leftover ones with Nancy Pelosi's name on them.
You're going to get us in trouble.
Yeah, you are.
Did y'all each get one, or do you have to share that one?
We each got one, and each got a certificate, too. The lady asked us which was which, so... behind the stage, so we had to. I had to tell her, "I'm Mark. I want mine, not Mike."
Yeah, Mark almost didn't get in the place.
His name wasn't. Yeah, we went up to the desk, and they had Mike and my dad and my sister and Danny and my Dandy younger friend. And they said, "We can't find Mark anywhere." And I thought I was going to have to leave, but no, they flipped the page and they found me in a little small writing.
Way down low.
And Mike says, "That's how it should be."
That's right. They invited me, but they felt bad. And so they said, "Well, we got to have Mark. You know, we got to have
that's
Mark."
So
you know?
That's
You're
so wrong.
You're older, though, right?
I am Mark? 3 minutes older, okay, believe me. That's three minutes of my life.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, they could have just invited one of you and just taken two pictures.
Now
with AI, you know, you need either AI. One of you. Yeah, just AI.
But it was a great experience, man. We were so excited to be there, and so a lot of other people were there getting awards too. And so just to be in that group, it was just awesome. So,
and let's while we're talking about Speaker Mike Johnson, of course, from here, it's pretty cool. One of his staff,
yes.
It's my dentist's son.
That's right. Our dentist's son, too. Our cousin.
Your cousin. I know. Yeah. It's family.
Yep. Yeah.
He was, when I first met, if you want to say his name.
Ryan Walker.
Right.
Yeah. Ryan Walker's our cousin. His son, Jack, is the one that works in Mike Johnson's office.
We did Les Mis years ago. And Jack was Gavroche, which is the little boy in the show who has a song and then who is killed on the barricade. Yeah. And he was phenomenal. And I knew then that's a special kid.
He is very smart.
Then he went off to run Ole Miss. Mississippi State.
Mississippi State.
I know. Waiting for y'all to say something. He was student council president there and then goes and he's working for the Speaker of the House. Right.
That's got to be awesome for him. I know his grandparents, our cousin Ronnie and Jody Walker, are so proud.
Yes.
And his parents, Ryan and Stephanie, they're Walker, they're proud too.
Great family.
Great role models growing up.
What happened to
y'all? We were on the other side.
We were black sheep, I guess. They weren't good enough role models. Yeah.
No, they were. They were awesome. They are awesome people.
I just wanted to mention Jack and you say wonderful family.
Yes.
And I got to work with his uncle, for years. And,
Steven.
And we're all still, yeah, Steven.
Yeah, Steven. Steven good,
Walker.
Yep.
We're all still very
Aaron
close.
And Steven and all of them. They're just, they're a fate. Well, I shouldn't say that.
Way to go, Mark.
That's
already
secret,
out there.
Anyway, they're great, awesome people. So we love
Mike
them.
Mike and Mark Mangum, Twin Blends, Northwest Louisiana History Hunters. Let's take a quick break because I want to get into some of the work that y'all are doing. And congratulations on this Community Spirit Award.
Appreciate that.
Honestly, no kidding. Very well deserved.
Thank you. It was a shock to us. You know, we're people, and when this came back around, we didn't know what to think. We were just amazed.
I love Shreveport history. Miss Eric Brock still to this day, but you guys are keeping that going, and gosh, very well deserved.
So thank you.
Let's take a break. We'll be back with Mike and Mark Mangum. I'm sorry, Mark and Mike Mangum.
No, you had it right first.
Twin Blends, Northwest Louisiana History Hunters. Thomas Avalone in for Aaron, 101.7 FM, 710.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Mike and Mark Mangum, Twin Blends, Northwest Louisiana History Hunters in studio. Mike and McCarty, Thomas Avalone in for the vacationing Aaron McCarty. Gosh, we were going to talk about, you guys have gotten so much lined up. Are we doing the downtown walking tours?
That's I've got so much other stuff we have to get to first. And it's getting a little hot out there, too.
So right.
Walking would be kind of hot.
Yeah.
So might, if we got enough interest. Yeah.
So tell us what do we have going on?
Well, this Wednesday we're speaking at the Oaks of Louisiana.
Get close to that mic.
Sorry. We're speaking at the Oaks of Louisiana this Wednesday at 5 p.m. And then June 23rd we're speaking at the Desk and Derrick having a presentation. Then July 23rd we have First Baptist Church of Halton we're going to speak at. And then August 22nd, Mansfield Battle Park, we're going to do a Porter's Fleet presentation. Dr. Gary Joyner will be there talking about that, and we're going to be up there, and we have a presentation with AI
video. And all of that's
video.
Going to be AI video. We've got the steamboats that we've been pushing here recently. We've got AI video of the Red River Raft and the steamboats coming up the Red River, and it's neat because you actually see steamboats, you hear it, and the steamboats coming
and
up
Porter's
the river.
Fleet, some of the, and we'll show some of that, too, and Bailey's Dam and all that. It's going to be fascinating.
Now, when you speak at certain, and people can contact you and go, hey, we want you to speak at the ladies department club or whatever. What do you talk on?
It depends on the topic. Like right now, the hot topic we're talking about is steamboats on the Red River. Everybody seems like they want to see that video. We just presented at the Glen about 2 weeks ago, and they absolutely loved it. And we had somebody else say they saw that, and they wanted to do that at their presentation. Actually, about two different people. They want to the groups. They want to see the steamboat presentation and hear us talking about the steamboats and stuff like that.
And tell us about that. What is the steamboat presentation?
Okay, the steamboat presentation, we debuted it, premiered it about 3 weeks to a month ago down at the J. Bennett Johnson Waterway Visitor Center. And what it is we take pictures of the Red River Raft, which people have seen over the years in black and white.
From 1873.
Captain Henry Miller Shreve.
No, that was 1830. Yeah. This is when Lieutenant Eugene Woodruff cleared it the second time in 1873.
Yeah, and so we have take those photos and also photos of steamboats that you've seen that along the Red River docked at Shreveport. And we put that together and made it a moving picture video. As you can see, the steamboats actually steaming up the Red River. You can hear the
people
the,
loading cotton and the steamboat whistles and the horses. And we show pictures of downtown Shreveport around that time.
And what's cool is, like, parts of the video, it's like you're sitting on the bank watching an actual steamboat go by. You've seen the old photos, but you've never seen it come alive.
And people on steamboats are waving. There are people going up and down with loading a cotton. And, you know, then 1873 picture of Texas Street with wagons and people from actual pictures that we make move with AI.
Foot of Texas Street Bridge, there's a steamboat gym parked at the foot of Texas Street Bridge looking from the Bossier side, and you can see Commerce Street and this dock there and people moving and the boat moving. It's so cool.
Yeah. And I've told this story about when I first met y'all. It was an art walk.
Mm-hmm. Art walk. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was just fascinated by the work that you did. And, of course, then it was, honestly, it's not that long ago. Mm-hmm. It was Photoshop.
That's right.
And
yeah,
you would take old pictures and blend them.
Yep.
See what I did?
Yep.
With current current pictures. How has AI changed what you guys do now?
Okay, first of all, we want to put a disclaimer out. We're not big fans of AI for the most part.
Except
when it comes to taking an old photo and making it move, or colorizing it and then making it move for about 8 to 10 seconds so you can tell a story. Other than that, we're not big fans of it. But what's cool is when we started about 10 or 11 years ago, I mean, you'll go back and look some of our first stuff, and to be honest with you, it wasn't that good. You know,
over the years, but you've got to look at that.
Mike does that. He's never had a course in computer. I don't know how he does the stuff. He just I watch him drag this stuff around, move the audio, this and that. And I said, "How do you learn how to do that?" He's just playing with the computer.
Yeah, over the years, for the last 15 years. But anyway, what's cool is when we first started out, you can see how crude it is, and then it just develops as I was learning more and more. It just develops, and I told Mark, AI come along right at the peak, right when we were ready for it, because it just transitions what we were doing into something even more, because now we can colorize it. This would have taken me probably 2 days for one blend and colorizations, whereas right now I can do it within probably 2 minutes each blend.
Isn't that amazing?
And it's so realistic. And what we like is it's able to tell a story. We want to tell Shreveport's history instead of just looking at the black and white picture. Yeah, and you can be involved.
I tell you, a perfect example of that is, I don't know if we mentioned that our one of our followers, Rusty Bethley, a songwriter, wrote a song. He wrote the lyrics and the song, and he used his friend's voice, and he put it to AI, and he wrote a song, Twin Blends. And then when he sent it to us, it was a fascinating song. So we made a music video out of it, explains exactly what you do. So if you go to Facebook, search in Twin Blends music video, and you'll see it. It explains what we do. And it's just some pictures that you've seen for years. We colorize it and make it move through video and have the great song with it and all the Southern Made, all the stuff that you remember from back in the days on there.
We were able to honor the photographers of the past and at the Gray Bills and stuff like that. We honor Eric Brock.
We dedicate to Eric Brock. So anyway, but if you want to know what Twin Blends is about, go to Facebook, type in Twin Blends music video, and it shows us, you know, shows what we do.
Now, when you were talking about the Steamboat video, is that on your Facebook page?
No, right now it's not. What we're going to eventually
Using it for presentations,
right?
And, it's helping us fund our work. So we have it in different presentations that we show. But people have asked that before. But right now we're just showing it.
And that's what people may not realize, especially when you first got started. You guys had full time jobs, and you did Twin Blends
for free.
Just in your spare time.
We did speaking engagements. We did everything for free, and then and then we learned. Well, we've got to have better mics.
Got to monetize it.
And we do. We have a Patreon account, and we have PayPal, and people follow us and donate, and they help us out. And then when we do speaking engagements, for a fee, it helps us. Like, we just ordered some better mics because we did a video the other day, and it just wasn't, the sound quality wasn't good. So we had, luckily we had just gotten paid for a project. And so we used that money, to buy better mics and stuff. So
what'd you get?
They're the Rode mics. The square ones. They were a little pricey, but we needed it because the projects we did, you got to hear us.
People don't realize, and you now understand.
Yeah.
Audio. That's
the main
thing, word.
Audio.
Yeah. Right. Audio. You can have the best video in the world, but if you're doing a video can't hear you, or
muffled. We shot. I ain't gonna say where, because we're working on a project. I'll tell you off mic. we were doing a project the other day, and it came out great, but the audio was horrible. Yeah. And so we said, we gotta go back and shoot it. We gotta get back in there and shoot it. And because we'll have, and we ordered mics, and they came in yesterday. So.
Nice. Yep. Well, I tell you what, can you guys hang? Because there's still some more questions, and I want to talk with you some more. Always fun. Mike and Mark Mangum, Twin Blends, Northwest Louisiana History Hunters, Thomas Avalone, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel.
Breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Mike and Mark Mangum, Twin Blends, Northwest Louisiana History Hunters in studio. Tony in for Aaron, Mike and McCarty. Now, when I told my wife's out of town, but when I told her y'all were going to be in, she said, ask them about the McAdoo Hotel.
Tell him Mark about the McAdoo.
And I said,
no, I'll leave that up to you. Mark doesn't know. McAdoo Hotel is on Texas Avenue right there by the municipal, right around the corner from the municipal. Yeah, it's an old, old hotel that has a lot of history to it.
Yes. And it's what is it today? Is it some halfway house?
Yeah, I think it is. I'm not 100% sure, but I believe
because it's right next to the Hope House?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. And
okay. But it was back in the day. It was, and I told her. I said, "Well, they would know."
Yeah. I've got this blank look on my face. Yeah, Mike knows all that
because I remember asking y'all years ago. I said, "Y'all ever heard about this cafe, the old KCS cafe?"
Yeah.
Like, what a stupid question! Because you looked at me like I had, you know, worms for hair, and goes, "Yeah, we've got a post on it, of course." And like, everything I wanted to know. So I knew you'd know about, it was a prominent hotel
back in the day. We have pictures of it from I think the 70s. I think, but it goes way back. There was a lot. All the big names stayed there. Big name people stayed there.
I bet people from the Hayride.
Yeah.
Because it's right there by the auditorium,
with walking distance. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of history to that building too.
Okay. When we get back, we got some more stuff. I want to hang with you for just a few more minutes, if you would.
Yep.
Twin Blends Northwest Louisiana History Hunters. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710.
Back with McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Mike and Mark Mangum, Twin Blends Northwest Louisiana History Hunters. Thomas Avalonian for Aaron. You made a comment off mic a few minutes ago. You were talking about the Mudbug Madness treasure.
Yes.
And you said you got a call. The person that won. Tell us what happened.
The message, Emma, I forget what their name is. I'm so
sorry.
We're going to make a post on it. But the two ladies that won, they looked through all the clues, and she messaged us. Emma messaged us yesterday, I think it was, and said, "Thank y'all so much for your history clues.
The hints.
That's how we were able to solve all the riddles." She said, "We learned so much about Shreveport history that we had no idea from y'all's Twin Blends page and your history clues." And she said that helped us, and we just want to say thank y'all so much for that. So,
they spent the money with you?
Yeah, no, that's my next reply to her. We
have a Patreon.
That's right.
There you go.
We had a lot of people saying off the record, "Hey, can y'all help us out?" Right? No, we're sworn to secrecy. Yeah. So we can't tell you where these are. So, Jason Cram, our buddy, came up with the riddles and the hints and everything.
But he had to AI proof it because people were using AI and it would solve it.
He sent it to us and we couldn't figure out these places. And then when he told us the answer, we're like, "Well, that makes perfect sense."
But he had to do it beforehand. He had to make sure they were AI proof.
You know, that's funny because we used to do another morning show, a 5-question quiz. And we had 5 questions and it was all related to Shreveport. And when they would end, we'd get somebody on the air and we'd ask the questions and go through all 5, and we wouldn't say yes, that's right, or no, that's wrong. We'd let them answer all 5 and go, "You got 2 right."
Yeah.
And then we'd have to figure out. And so it was really a lot of fun, but we had to do questions that you couldn't Google.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Because and now with AI.
I tell you what, Jason Cram is a genius because he sent us all this stuff and it was so far over our head. Right, Jason, we don't know this stuff, man. I mean, but the hints and all that provided, when we found the answers, and when he gave us the answers, we're like, "Man, that makes perfect
sense."
Of course
it is,
but we weren't smart enough to figure it out with his clues and hints. So,
now what got you? And I know I've asked you before. The very first time you said, "Let's blend this with this," what got you started on that, obviously years ago?
Well, we like to do it. Mark wants to say he does like then and now. He wanted to go to the now place, and I hated that idea because it's like a parking lot now, a lot of places.
I said, "Let's go now and do it side by side, then and now." And then so everybody loved that. So Mike wanted to see, you know, he wanted to superimpose the pictures together to see if I was really in the right spot because I'm OCD. I got to be in the exact same spot where this old picture was taken. and he superimposed a picture to see if I was. He was really doing it to guy dog me, going, "This ain't right."
Yeah.
Well, it was right, and he said, "Man, you're not going." He called me and said, "You're not going to believe this. I superimposed this building here that's not there anymore with people walking around from the 50s, along with you know cars of today." He said, "Oh my gosh, looks like it's still there. It just popped." So it was by accident, really. So. And we got in Twin Bends just to go look for pictures of Southern Hills Summer Grove area just to see if find a few pictures. And then we got into thousands and thousands at Northwest Louisiana Archives at LSUS.
Incredible.
And that's how it started, totally by accident.
But we've gone through some phenomenal, for those of us that were born here and have lived here all of our lives, and the Veterans Park, the Veterans
Amphitheater.
Yeah. Veterans Park Amphitheater. I mean, what great memories.
Yes.
Even Crystal Lake.
Crystal Lake.
South Park Mall.
Yeah.
Yep. So you've many got things that are gone.
Yeah, it is. And what's cool is the LSUS archives have documented it through the years from Shreveport Times collection, the Jack Barham collection, and most recently the Thurman C. Smith collection, photos that most people have never seen before.
Yeah.
And it brings you back to your childhood.
Yeah.
Look, Thomas, believe me, jump in because
fascinated by all of it as well. Now, I mean, it sounds like you have leaned pretty heavily into AI. What before AI, when you first started way back when, what was typically your tool of choice?
Microsoft Digital Image Pro. I started that probably in 1998.
You can't
around
get that anymore.
No, you can't. I have the program and I still use it a lot, but if it ever crashes, I'm done as far as that. But Photoshop's pretty complicated. So I rely a lot on that Microsoft Digital Image Pro, even to today.
Yeah.
The AI, we use it to colorize and make stuff move, but as far as our regular everyday posts, it's the basic old tool.
And sometimes clean up pictures too. Yeah. Like we got a steamboat from just a newspaper article with it going under the turn bridge downtown, and we created a picture and a video from that, and it looks real. It was like from a grainy newspaper article.
That's right.
Now, when you show off this work to, I don't want to say, you know, older folks, mm-hmm. Older folks, and I'd say older folks, I count myself among myself there. Sometimes when I come across AI imagery, I have to take a minute and go, what am I looking at here?
Yeah.
How is this happening?
Is
how much explanation do you have to give?
We always give, like on the, if you notice on the pictures, we'll say AI enhanced, and then we took an old picture. And when we make a post, we'll show the original old picture so people can see, hey, that's actually a picture we derived it from. But we rarely say create a picture of this because we want it to be factually accurate. And when we tell the AI program, don't have the camera view move, because if it moves like steamboat going down the river, it starts creating buildings and stuff and bridges that are not there, which totally ruins it. And so, so we want it, you know, we try to keep everything accurate and let everybody know this is AI enhanced, or we cleared it up through AI or colorized it. So right off the bat, we don't
try
to fool.
I'm just one of thousands that appreciate what y'all do, because on Marshall Street, one time I was driving, and there's a really cool building on Marshall Street. I stopped and went in. It's a construction company. And I asked the guy, I said, because I'm that guy, I'm going to go in and go, hey. And he said, I said, this is an awesome building. I said, I can tell you I've done some work, but you've maintained a lot of the historic. He says, this used to be the old Studebaker dealership in Shreveport. Mm-hmm. And took me back. The bays, the bays are still back there.
Yeah.
And I love that stuff.
Yep. Yeah. People still contact us buildings to say, do y'all have pictures of my building back from the early 1900s? Because we want to get historical tax credits. I mean, Curtis Jackson, even 50 Cent, contacted us. They needed some old pictures of downtown because of the buildings he bought. He wanted to get the historical tax credits, and that's a good sign that you want to get the buildings back up to the way they used to look. So,
oh, good.
Yeah. But businesses contact us like that all the time.
And talking about Marshall Street around there, we're fixing to do a thing on Silver Lake. As a matter of fact, we're getting with Brian Fowler.
And
we're going to be talking about Silver Lake.
The ballroom?
And with the Silver Lake itself.
Name Silver Lake. There used to be a lake there.
We got so many stories that we've heard. Marshall Jones, a friend of ours,
has a map of where Silver Lake, and that's a map we've never seen before, so we're going to incorporate that and all. So
it's cool. It's cool stuff.
And the old the train station, the depot.
Union Station.
Union Station.
Yeah.
I wish that could be redone.
Oh, yeah. That needs to be a museum.
Are you talking about Central Station?
Central.
Yeah, Central's right there on
museum.
On Marshall,
yeah,
I believe.
Yep, that's right. That's right. And you know what we found out real quick is that Silver Lake, it actually creeped up to Texas Street. And whenever it flooded. You know where Jordan and Booth and the Slattery building is right now? They used the buildings before that were built on piers. Because that when it would flood, it would come up to Texas Street.
That was before the Red River Raft was cleared and everything would flood, you know.
Oh, wow.
They found a flatboat under the Styrie building whenever they dug down for the basement. So,
now, that Silver Lake Ballroom, I heard
that's why they named
that's now. Closed now.
Oh, yeah, I think
just
so.
Recently.
I think,
but that's an historic building.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
It was an event center until they just recently.
There's
a lot
of buildings downtown that are over 100 years old, you know, and also, but yeah.
Well, the Shreveport Museum, isn't it the Spring Street Museum?
Yeah.
Isn't that the oldest building in downtown Shreveport? The Spring Street Museum itself is the oldest building in downtown Shreveport.
Yeah, and we're working with SPAR also on this 250 project to give them old pictures of downtown where it factors in. Of course, Shreveport's not 250 years old. But, you know, we're giving them old pictures and they're doing stories on that. And we're going to be part of that all year, the SPAR. We would have been at the Red, White, and Boom event, but we had a couple invite us to their house for dinner that night and with a great group of friends. So, but we're going to try to be, they're going to allow us to be part of the Red, White, and Boom event all year with those stories and pictures.
And like the Caddo Indians, 1835 ancestors that were here in 1835, we got pictures of them and floats and stuff
from 1935.
It's just a lot.
Hang tight. We're going to take a break. Mike and Mark Mangum in studio. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710.
Get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Mike and Mark Mangum in studio. Thomas Avalone in for Aaron McCarty. Mike and McCarty. We've just got about a minute or two left. Twin Blends Northwest Louisiana History Hunters is Facebook. Do you have a as well, right?
TwinBlendsHistory.com.
Okay, TwinBlendsHistory.com. Now, again, you guys started this. You had full-time jobs. Now this is basically your full-time job.
That's right.
You both retired. So if people want to help,
that's right.
What do they need to do?
We have a PayPal account, Venmo account. People give us donations and stuff like that. It just helps, alleviate some of the costs and stuff. Because when we do go out to sites and do video, even travel, you know, it takes gas money and it takes, you know.
Yeah, because you're not getting rich doing this.
No, we're not. It helps getting camera equipment and mics and stuff like that to bring better content. Yeah. So.
And software.
Yeah, that's right. So they can contact us and find out how they want to help. So, you know, that would be great. And we do have people who follow us on Patreon do our Patreon every month and all. And then they send us check donations for stuff that really helps.
And you do speaking events.
We charge people for speaking against, which here lately, it's like, oh my gosh, every day people are calling us, which is good. We got our calendar full.
And we got business. We're working with the Shreveport Airport. All the murals that they put up, old pictures, they're renovating. We helped them do that, so they're putting those in now, installing it. Big metal pictures with old collage of old pictures downtown.
Airport's looking good, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
Larry Blackwell Jr. is just really doing a great job. So,
very good. Guys, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Always.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it.
Always love it.
Anytime.
Always love it. Appreciate you coming out. Yep. Mike and Mark Mangum, it's Twin Blends Northwest Louisiana History Hunters. Thomas, thanks for coming out.
Well, thank you so much
for having
me. I'll
see you in the morning.
I'll be here.
Mike and McCarty. Wow, 1 and 2. Mike and Mark.
Mike and Mark.
I know. Yeah. 101.7 FM, 710 Key. FM 710 Keel. Mike and McCarty. Thomas Avalone in for Aaron, and I say he's got the best job in Louisiana. Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Lieutenant Governor, good morning.
Good morning, my friend. How you doing?
We're doing very well. Thanks for jumping on with us this morning. You've been busy. You've been in Washington, D.C., and you were talking about aerospace and how it relates to Louisiana. What were you working on?
Well, we started the Aerospace Lieutenant Governor's Committee under our organization to bring together, first, all the states that have aerospace, see what we can learn from them, and also meeting with all the space companies. This is our third meeting, and you get an opportunity to meet with all the industry leaders and learn what do we need to do to grow that industry in Louisiana. And everything points back to workforce. They're going to need about 1.4 million new aviation professionals. The space industry has taken off, not just going to the moon and Mars, but we will see in the next 10 years international flights. You'll take off from a spaceport and go anywhere in the world in 2 hours. You're going to see space tourism. And you'll also see the medical advancements where if you need a new heart, they will take your tissue, go to space and make it, come back, and your body won't reject it because it's made with your tissue. All this advanced stuff is coming.
Wow.
And Louisiana has a real opportunity to be on the forefront if we can train the workforce. And the VOTEC education is so important. I thought you had to be a rocket scientist to work at NASA, but no. VOTEC training, specialized courses can really train our workforce to be ready for this industry that's coming fast.
Well, I tell you, my daughter, let me throw this out here, is not a rocket scientist, but she works for SpaceX at Cape Canaveral.
It's incredible the industry that's coming. And if we invest in the VOTEC training here, they will come. I know the legislature passed some bills offering tax incentives this year. And that's a great start. I know there's some companies looking at Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at Alabama, they train kids to weld on spaceships in high school. They've got over 400 support companies there, supporting companies like Boeing and other space companies right there in Alabama. So it's a real opportunity for us if we take advantage of it.
So we've got our work cut out for us. What was the reception from these companies to Louisiana?
Incredible. You know, everybody loves Louisiana. It's just making sure the business climate is right. And with all the tax incentives and everything else, we have Nunez Community College in St. Bernard that has a space program that trains people for NASA and Stennis there in Mississippi. They got a new building donated. We're trying to get the legislature to fund the money to expand those programs. And we'd like to see that expanded at all the VOTEC schools across the state. It's a real opportunity for kids that want to go into that profession to do it at the VOTEC training schools.
Good morning, Lieutenant Governor. This is Thomas Avalone. Shifting gears a little bit. Of course, here in Caddo Parish, we're considering the development of a multi sports complex. And we were just wondering what your thoughts were on that as far as its importance and what potential impact that it might have on the region and the state.
Yeah, let me tell you, it's one of that old saying, you build it and they will come. Years ago, we took and put a sports tourism team together. We saw this industry growing and knowing that every place out of New Orleans did not have the expertise. They've been traveling the country. We went to Denver last year and met with the Olympic trials people. It's a real opportunity. It's going to be growing for the next many years. Other states are really taking advantage of it. You see, we had the Dizzy Dean World Series in Ruston, Olympic trials for volleyball in Shreveport. We've had judo, golf. These Olympic trials, in the last 10 years, we've seen over 100 hotels built outside of New Orleans. And it's been a lot supported by the sports industry and sports tourism. So it's one of those saying, you build it, they will come. It's growing all over the country. And surely we've got an opportunity to take advantage of it here in Louisiana.
Yeah, I would really like to see it. And Caddo Parish is looking at hopefully, if we're going to do it, let's do it right. I also want to shift gears. This is an interesting new law just passing that makes releasing balloons illegal in Louisiana because it's now considered a form of littering.
Yeah, when I took over, when we moved Keep Louisiana Beautiful under my office 5 years ago, we've grown this. Used to have 50 groups clean up. This year, over 1,500 groups doing a Love the Boot Week. We're going to be announcing Love Your Waterway Month in September. But what I've learned as we've started this mission to clean up Louisiana, there's a lot of balloons that end up in drainage, knocking out power. Has killed baby cattle in the field, been wrapped around pelicans' necks, ingested by animals. And it's not just the one or two balloons. One release in New Orleans was over 1,000 balloons. And they come down in the waterways, in wooded areas, and all over the place. So we're just asking, like other states have done, put laws in place. If you want to bring balloons to an event, pop them and dispose of them properly. Or if you want to release something, get butterflies or something else that is more environmentally friendly. We're trying to tackle this litter thing on all fronts, and it was a much bigger problem than we thought. When you release them, you don't see where they come down. Mm-hmm. And more we're finding them all over in the wildlife, in the marsh. People have gotten them caught up in the propellers of their boats. So it is a bigger problem than we thought, and it doesn't have any control of where they come down. So hopefully people will abide by that law, and we can continue to clean up Louisiana.
Yeah, because there are really no, when you think about it, there are no biodegradable balloons.
Yeah, and if they do have some kind of biodegradable, or they come up with one, surely that would be something to consider allowing that. But for right now, we just want to do all we can to clean up our state and keep it clean.
You mentioned Love Your Waterways Project. What is this about?
So we're going to be announcing you can sign up just like you did for Love the Boot Week. We're going to clean up every waterway in Louisiana. If you've got a boat, we're going to be giving out some buckets with sacks to take out in your boat to clean up. If you don't have a boat, you can clean up along the shoreline. We're going to be cleaning up the banks of the Mississippi River. We're going to be partnering with all of the Ducks Unlimited, all those groups, CCA, all of the hunting and fishing groups and independent fishermen. And for that month, we're going to ask everybody to make a real effort to clean up all of our waterways. And hopefully that rolls over into keeping our waterways clean. If you pick up litter for a day or you get a ticket for littering, you're 80% less likely to litter again. So the more people we can get involved, the better we can do at cleaning up our state.
Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser, thank you so much for talking with us. I hope you have a great weekend.
Always. Y'all have a great weekend, too. Thank you.
Thank you. Mike and McCarty, Thomas Avalone in for Aaron, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
We're talking to Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser in the last segment about balloon releases in Louisiana. Is it official? They're now illegal.
It is. I believe so.
Yeah. And so because
it's
now...
effect in August.
It goes... Okay, thank
yeah,
you.
The law
okay.
goes... And you can get fined up to $2,500
per balloon.
Wow. No, I don't think so.
It doesn't go into effect until August. So if you've got them, now yeah. is the time.
Now's the time to screw up some more. But I made the comment. I don't think there's any biodegradable balloons
right.
because they're rubber
right.
or latex or whatever. And then, of course, those aluminum. What
the
are
mylar.
Those mylar?
Yeah, the mylar
apparently, balloons. There are biodegradable balloons, but they are still not recommended for release. So they theoretically break down, but it still takes a very long time. So
interesting.
So it's a lie.
It's a lie.
It's not really biodegradable.
No. God, if it doesn't break down quick, then
right.
And you know, growing up, you just never thought about that. Anytime there was a balloon release at a field day or school, you know, you would think about, well, where's this? I think there may have been a time that we used to tie notes to the balloons.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Nobody, it just didn't occur to anyone that it was that it was a problem.
Now, my dad was a lineman for the city of Minden, so I knew the dangers of the Mylar balloons and releasing them near power lines.
Right.
Because if one of those Mylar balloons touches a transformer, it's exploding on contact.
Sure.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
I remember an episode of Breaking Bad, and Mike Ehrmantraut had a big thing of Mylar balloons, like 10 or 12 of them, and he releases them outside of this warehouse, and it goes up to the power line, and
yeah,
and all the power in the place goes out. And I was like, I wonder if that really
does happen. Yeah.
So that's real. So, okay, well, then they did their research.
I've seen videos of that. So it's somebody celebratorily releasing a big thing of Mylar balloons in a parking lot, in the middle of a parking lot, which was stupid.
Right.
They float over to the power lines like they're being like a magnet. And you hear a pop and it just goes dark. Right. All the street lights are out. Every light in every business is out. It's a mess.
Now, I've seen squirrels running across the lines. Have you seen that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're good at that.
And then they hit the transformer.
I've never seen that.
Barbecued squirrel.
Wow. Yeah. Lane closures on I-20 in Bossier. We'll get an update after the news, top of the hour. Mike and McCarty, Thomas Avalone in for air in 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back to the big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Yesterday we were talking about the my poor dog got a tick on her ear.
Right.
I got it yesterday.
I know. That's great news.
I got it. Ta-da. Wow.
Finally.
Fun, you know, weird sense of accomplishment.
Right.
Yeah. But I just sat down at the table in the dining room and called her over, and it had just gotten so
engorged.
Oh, I know, it's gross. Sorry.
It's a gross.
But I was able to get it. But anyway, I bring that up to say this morning, remember we talked with Richard Llewellyn?
Yes.
And we mentioned that.
Right. The fleas and ticks. Fleas and ticks.
It's going to be.
Affects it.
Yes. It's going to be bad this year. I bring up the Weather Channel, guys, the website, weather.com, on the front page of the Weather Channel today is a big story: how your weather forecast can help protect you from ticks.
How can the weather forecast help protect us from ticks?
With a big picture of a big old tick on the front page of the Weather. I want credit for this.
No, right. I think that you did have something to do with that.
I want credit for this. So that was bizarre. It wasn't Richard that did the story, though. Mark Willard.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Wow.
That's bizarre. Well, Louisiana inspection stickers are now officially a thing of the past.
Woohoo!
Governor Landry signed the bill yesterday. Larry Bagley, state rep out of North Shreveport. What is it? It's the Oil City area? And he's going to join us coming up right after the break. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, no more inspection stickers for the state of Louisiana. You will get a QR code on your next registration renewal, and the fee goes to $6 as opposed to $10. State Rep Larry Bagley joining us on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. First of all, good morning. Thanks for jumping on with us.
No problem.
And second of all, congratulations. You've been working on this a long time.
Yes, a long time. It's one of the principles of the Republicans that's trying to lower rates and get government out of our business as much as we can. And I always thought the inspection sticker was one of the biggest problems we had. They got money for us for basically nothing. And, it was just a nuisance, I thought. So, yeah, I brought it. I think it was in 2016, 17. And I brought it, it's about 7 years I brought it, finally got it.
Well, how did it feel yesterday to stand there next to the governor and watch him sign your bill into law?
Oh, that was, well, again, something that you worked for that long, it was certainly a relief. I couldn't have done it without the governor. He got behind me this time and pushed it and made sure that any obstacles that were there, he took care of that. So, I mean, you know, I told him yesterday, and then he made us said in the signing that I just worked with the wrong governor, and he was right. Governor Landry wanted that to happen, and he told me that every time he made a speech and he mentioned whatever the speech was about, when he mentioned that he was going to do an inspection sticker, he'd get a standing ovation. So I told him it'd be one of the most popular things he'll do in his time as governor. So it was a big day, and I was glad. I never understood why there were people that could stop it. They never told me why. I never heard anybody say, we can't do this because. It was just there were people there that had power that stopped it. So we got by that with the governor, and everything's good.
Now, Representative Bagley, can you take us back to the impetus? We were talking about it a little bit on the break as far as, you know, as far as the idea here that the inspection stickers are I tried a large word and it didn't work out.
Superfluous.
There it is. Unnecessary.
We all have
in many respects. What was the impetus for this bill way back when you first started, as far as why you felt like we needed to make a change here?
Well, and you know, I tried to look my first as I went down. Every new legislation is going to change the world, and that was my idea that I was going to make some things better, and I've worked to do that, and think I've done some other things too to help. But the inspection sticker had been tried before. In fact, Richie Burford, who had held that seat that I'm in now prior to me, had tried to pass it and didn't have any luck. And there's several people that have tried to stop it, but I was thinking, you know, I've got 12 years here, and unless something happens, and surely I can get time. And I really thought I could do it probably in 2 or 3, but as hindsight, I had people that were not interested in changing it. And it was, this governor said, we'll do this. And every time I'd run into a roadblock, he would tell me, don't worry about it. It's good. So it was really easier for in committee. I had very few questions about it. Of course, everybody had seen it before. And many of the ones now that are in the Senate, I had served with them in the House, so they knew about me and the bills. They've seen it before. So it was just a long process that was made a little easier after all this time.
Well, now, State Rep Larry Bagley, tell us what changes now. Obviously, we won't have to go get an inspection. We'll get a QR code. Tell us what will be different.
Well, the difference will be that you won't ever have to drive down and get in line or wait to get your car inspected, however that's done prior to this. My inspection was normally just go in and they pull one off and put one on. But to have whatever you went to, you're not going to have to do that anymore. It's going to be less money. You don't have to do it yearly. Now, the ones we have or had up until yesterday, if you didn't renew it, it was about, you got caught. It's, I think it's a $250 fine. It's what's usually around the state. And so you won't have to worry about that. You won't have to worry about, you know, being stopped for something else, and the police say, well, your inspection sticker's expired, and write you another ticket. So all that's out. Makes it easier to go about your life. And every once a year, you'll get a thing in the mail to pay, and, you know, you'll do that. Now, that little QR code, when you sell that car that you own, it'll go with it. And at some point, you know, every car will do that. And another major thing that wasn't talked about very much, but I mentioned in several of the committee reports, that the QR code, you know, when you pay your registration, license, all that's in there, if you don't pay that, it's pretty easy to track. The inspection stickers, they lost, they estimated between $5 and $6 million, state police did, in fake inspection stickers. people would steal them and then go out in the Walmart parking lot. They say the Walmart parking lot in New Orleans is the main thing, but they caught one at state police headquarters in the parking lot one day selling them. So that was a big deal. We don't have to worry about that anymore because the QR code.
I've never heard somebody stealing inspection stickers. That's crazy.
Well, I haven't either, but it's that came out of committee. One of the state police that said that in committee. Maybe it was the first year I read that bill that they lost between $5 and $6 million a year.
Now the QR code wasn't your idea, was it?
No, that was the governor's idea, and he and I questioned him about it when he first said that because I told him, I thought we could already do all that stuff, and because I know here in DeSoto the DeSoto Parish deputies can pull up behind you and they've got a little deal. They check your license plate and they'll tell you whether you got insurance and who it is and all that stuff. So I didn't know, but I'm sure there's something that's going to come off later on that's going to add to that. The thought being to not have to go in that car, to be able to stand outside for the safety of the police mm-hmm. and also the people inside. And that way you don't have to roll the window down. There's really no contact. I'm assuming they would just say you're speeding, or I don't know how that'll work. But the thought behind this safety, in which I'm certain for that, and I've had a lot of complaints about people that they're invading our property and our privacy, and that's not true because the QR code will only have the VIN number, make, model of the car, which is something you can do from outside the car, and now without any QR code. And again, the license plates, you can find out whether your registration's up and your insurance is valid and all that stuff already. They can do that. So it's just a way to do it. And the governor was bound and determined that we were going to do it this way. And, I was letting him, I said, I'll do whatever you want me to do if you'll help me get it out. So that's what we did. And, there's somebody going to complain about everything, even paying less money to complain. So
right.
It's always amazing to me how this life is about all these things. But I don't say anything. I just smile kind of inside when I hear those things. But
now
that was the story.
I've got a listener that asked, my inspection sticker is due in a few weeks in July. Do I still need to get a 1 year or 2 year sticker?
No. I got a 2 year sticker last year. There's no more stickers. The police are not going to, they're not going to be stopping you for that. For at least, I think it's January of 27 that they could start stopping you for not having a QR code, but there won't be any inspection sticker. And they don't have to worry about that. If they have a problem, then call their state representative, whoever that is, and they'll explain that to them. But there will not be any inspection sticker violations.
But those infractions that the inspection stickers were designed to catch, police officers can still write tickets for those infractions. If your headlights don't work or your brake lights are not working, you can still get a ticket for these things.
Yeah, and try Friday night with a headlight out or a taillight out and riding around. That's the time they look to do that, or, 12 o'clock at night riding around. They're going to stop you. And they've always been able to do that. And, people say, well, it's the safety of the car. But, the great things about cars now, as opposed to 20, 30 years ago, they build those cars now for when they've got a couple hundred thousand miles on, they still are running well and they're mechanically sound.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not as big a problem as that. As people make out to be. I think it'll be in time. We'll forget all about those inspection stickers and why the mess and confusion about getting them. And I'm excited about the fact my mother, who is 95, was asked the same question. Did she have to get hers? I said, no, ma'am, you're
done.
Good. Now for life. Yes.
Well, Larry, again, congratulations. It's been a long, hard road, and I appreciate you staying with it, man.
Well, I thank you for that. And I told them after the first year that I said, if you think I'm going to go away, because it was very popular and down south and these people were like really wanting to get rid of it. And I'm like, well, why would I want to not be for something that most citizens want?
Right.
And I would imagine if we'd have voted on it, it'd be 90% against. But, you know, so I just, it was easy to stay with it and did, and, you know, just it worked out.
Big day yesterday. Thanks for talking with us this morning. We appreciate it. Congratulations.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Larry, State Rep Larry Bagley. Mike and McCarty, Thomas Avalonian for Aaron, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
9 o'clock this morning, lane closures on I-20 in Bossier City. We'll get an update with DOTD spokesperson Aaron Buchanan right after the local news. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app. FM 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty, Thomas Avalone in for Aaron McCarty. She's on vacation on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. DOTD spokesperson Aaron Buchanan joining us. Aaron, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for jumping on with us next couple of days. We've got some lane closures on the I-20 in Bossier. Is it construction related or what's going on?
It is, yeah. So, you know, as part of the overall I-20 rehab project, we had quite a bit of concrete panel repair work done on both the Bossier side and the Shreveport side of the river. The Bossier side included industrial to I-220. And so we've identified some areas where we need the subcontractor who did that work to come in and do some corrective work. Obviously, you want to have that work done while the project is still under contract and underway. And so that's what's going on with that. And we hope to not have it go all the way through Friday. Hopefully we'll have them, we'll be able to pull those lane closures Thursday evening. But just kind of depends on how work progresses.
So is this work that maybe wasn't done correctly and they're correcting it or?
Not necessarily. Could be a lot of different factors mm-hmm. as to why these panels need to be corrected. They use an extremely fast curing concrete that, you know, is an approved material, but it's used so that we can then reopen the lanes by the next morning. All that, the concrete panel work was done at night. And so anytime you've got material that cures that quickly, you know, there's a possibility that that can occur. And so, you know, this is an isolated area. So this same material was used throughout the panel portion of the project. So, you know, we're looking into it, obviously, but, you know, it's not a matter of not done correctly the first time. Anytime we have construction going on, we have our inspectors out there. We're testing materials while sure. that's going on. So, you know, this is something that can happen, but we're looking into it.
And where you said it's an isolated area, where do folks need to be aware?
Right there between the industrial and 220 interchanges. So that little stretch of 220 just on the westbound side, not on the eastbound side. And obviously they'll intermittently switch the lane closure. So, you know, they may have the right lane closed at times, may have the left lane closed at times. Obviously not a full road closure.
Okay.
But, you know, we hope to be in and out fairly quickly.
So it's not going to be up in town affecting traffic around Airline Drive and Omega Road, that area.
Yeah, but that's a heavily traveled area, especially in the morning time. Folks come into work in town from Houghton and Minden and places like that. So, you know, it's heavy traffic during the morning time for sure, but it is a short lane closure. The lane closures don't extend, like you said, into Omega and into Airline and that far. So because it's a shorter area lengthwise, we don't anticipate as much of an impact to traffic.
18-wheelers have been allowed back on the road now, so we're yes. pretty much running at full capacity. Has mm-hmm. all the striping been finished and signage? Is all that complete?
Signage is complete. We're finishing up the striping. We have some striping at the two interchanges, eastbound and westbound at the racetrack exit or the 220 exit. So that will still need to be done, and that will require some ramp closures that need to go into place to be able to safely do that. So we're looking at scheduling that. We did have it scheduled for right now, actually would have been taking place, but we're rescheduling that. So we're at the end of the striping, thankfully, and which means the end of the project.
Okay, so lighting and all that has been done and completed?
That's correct. Yes, that is correct. I think they're in a burn-in period for the lighting just to ensure everything is operating as it should. But as far as installation goes, all of that is complete.
Okay, so just to recap, it's westbound only,
mm-hmm.
coming from Houghton and the Louisiana Downs area up to Industrial.
That's correct.
And it'll be kind of one lane at a time. They just need to be careful coming in next couple of days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just be aware that the crews are out there. And like I said, as long as weather cooperates and, no major things occur, hopefully we'll be out of there Thursday evening, maybe Friday morning. But that's the plan.
All right. Very good. Well, Aaron, thank you so much. We appreciate the update.
Thanks for having me again. Appreciate
it. Yes, talk to you soon. Mikey McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, Aaron on vacation, Thomas Avalone in studio. Real quickly, a lot of people obviously recognize your name because of your brother.
Yes.
Who is on Keel every afternoon, 5 to 7 on American Ground Radio. You work with him kind of, right?
Sure. I'm involved there in the show, helping out how I can, mostly with some of the technical aspects.
But also, y'all have a family business.
Mm-hmm.
That I think you work with him in the family business as well.
I do.
Like garage doors, is it?
That's one of the things that we do.
Construction.
Sure. Right.
Gotcha. Okay. But also, people may know you from your company that you had for years, MaxCentric.
That's correct. Had MaxCentric for almost 20 years.
Wow. Until Apple kind of changed the way they did business.
Apple made some changes with respect to how the products are serviced.
Yes.
Of course, MaxCentric very much was built around that relationship with Apple. So it
centered around the Mac.
Right. So it required a little.
What I did there?
That's right. A little bit of retooling, but I'm still out there and available for services. I've kind of rebranded myself as.
Well, that's what I was going to mention.
Right.
This is not a plug commercial, but you're here, so
right.
and I appreciate you coming out.
Right.
And so you're Avalone, still working.
Avalone Tech.
Okay.
Is kind of the banner that I'm flying.
Is it still focusing on Apple?
Well, of course, that's where most of my background and expertise lies, but I will work on, Windows PCs and non-Apple products as well. I kind of am focusing a lot more on going to the customer at their homes and offices. Of course, when I started way back when, that's pretty much all that I did. Was on-site work, and then as the repair shop side of the business began to grow, it became more centered, there in the physical location, and we would have folks that wanted more on-site attention, but it wasn't always possible given the
logistics,
the repair load in the shop.
Right.
So now I'm just kind of getting back to offering what I call concierge technology services.
Well, there you go. All right. Well, I just wanted to throw that out there.
Sure.
Because
well,
I knew
appreciate,
you were still doing that.
I appreciate the plug.
Coming up, we've got the election. John Fleming.
That's right.
And Julia Letlow.
Yep.
And earlier this week, as recent as earlier this week, there were polls showing kind of very close. But you said this morning, we were talking earlier, it looks like Letlow's kind of maybe creating some distance.
Well, according to a poll that was released yesterday, and this may be a little bit different from some of the polling that Dr. Fleming has offered. what I'm looking at here, Letlow leads Fleming 57% to 31% among self-identified very conservative voters and 50% to 32% among women. So take that for whatever it might be worth.
The self-identified very conservative voters, that kind of surprises me.
Right.
Because, I mean, Fleming is recognized as the more conservative candidate.
Certainly.
You look back on his voting record and in his past service.
Well, it's as we were talking about on the break, I mean, it is kind of a unique situation in that we do have Dr. Fleming, who's very conservative and who very much flies that Make America Great Again flag. However, he does not have the endorsement of the president in the way that Ms. Letlow does. So it's definitely been an interesting race for sure. I think that it's Dr. Fleming has a hill to climb for sure, but I don't know that it's insurmountable. And I think a lot of what might play out depends upon what all those Cassidy voters mm-hmm. do. A lot of Cassidy voters right. may not be self-identified very conservative voters, which this poll seems to have focused on.
Okay. So does it say what poll it is?
Let's see here. This is a Kaplan Strategies poll. Has Letlow leading Fleming 52% to 37%.
Okay. Interesting. I'll be glad when it's over. I think a lot of people are probably just saying, hey, we got rid of Cassidy.
Well, that seemed to have been a priority that was on a lot of folks' minds for sure. And what happens next will certainly be interesting. I think that you guys have her potentially on tap.
We've reached out for several weeks and just crickets.
Right.
But last week, as Erin was making preparations for her vacation, we did hear back from her people and said, she'd love to be on the show.
Right.
Absolutely. So we're like, okay. So now we're waiting to hear back from them again.
So you all have
to
not
get something scheduled.
You all have not spoken to her at all on this program.
No, not yet. No.
Wow.
Not since all this began.
Well, that's an interesting choice on her part.
Well, we kind of thought so. It's like, okay, North Louisiana matters.
Right.
That's been our contention for years.
Well,
with Louisiana politics.
Right. And I think with now we're headed toward the election later this month, she's probably made the decision to potentially put herself out there a bit more in this market. I think American Ground Radio did manage to have her on, and mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure this is probably her next stop. It should be.
Well, we're looking forward to hearing from her. We did hear from Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser earlier this morning. Hear what he's got to say coming up after the news, bottom of the hour, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back with McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, we talked about the Shreveport's Caddo Parish's multi-sports complex. Balloon releases in Louisiana are now illegal. And sports tourism, all that and more with Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser coming up just after the break. 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
FM, 710 Keel. Mikey McCarty, Thomas Avalone in for Erin. And I say he's got the best job in Louisiana. Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Lieutenant Governor, good morning.
Good morning, my friend. How you doing?
We're doing very well. Thanks for jumping on with us this morning. You've been busy. You've been in Washington, D.C., and we were talking about aerospace and how it relates to Louisiana. What were you working on?
Well, we started the Aerospace Lieutenant Governor's Committee under our organization to bring together, first, all the states that have aerospace, see what we can learn from them, and also meeting with all the space companies. This is our third meeting, and you get an opportunity to meet with all the industry leaders and learn what do we need to do to grow that industry in Louisiana. And everything points back to workforce. They're going to need about 1.4 million new aviation professionals. The space industry has taken off, not just going to the moon and Mars, but we will see in the next 10 years international flights. You'll take off from a spaceport and go anywhere in the world in 2 hours. You're going to see space tourism, and you'll also see the medical advancements where if you need a new heart, they will take your tissue, go to space and make it. Come back, and your body won't reject it because it's made with your tissue. All this advanced stuff is coming.
Wow.
And Louisiana has a real opportunity to be on the forefront if we can train the workforce. And the VOTEC education is so important. I thought you had to be a rocket scientist to work at NASA, but no. VOTEC training, specialized courses can really train our workforce to be ready for this industry that's coming fast.
Well, I tell you, my daughter, let me throw this out here, is not a rocket scientist, but she works for SpaceX at Cape Canaveral.
It's incredible the industry that's coming. And if we invest in the VOTEC training here, they will come. I know the legislature passed some bills offering tax incentives this year. And that's a great start. I know there's some companies looking at Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at Alabama, they train kids to weld on spaceships in high school. They've got over 400 support companies there, supporting companies like Boeing and other space companies in right there in Alabama. So it's a real opportunity for us if we take advantage of it.
So we've got our work cut out for us. What was the reception from these companies to Louisiana?
Incredible. You know, everybody loves Louisiana. It's just making sure the business climate is right. And with all the tax incentives and everything else, we have Nunez Community College in St. Bernard that has a space program that trains people for NASA and Stennis there in Mississippi. They got a new building donated. We're trying to get the legislature to fund the money to expand those programs. And we'd like to see that expanded at all the VOTEC schools across the state. It's a real opportunity for kids that want to go into that profession to do it at the VOTEC training schools.
Good morning, Lieutenant Governor. This is Thomas Avalone.
Shifting
gears a little bit. Of course, here in Caddo Parish, we're considering the development of a multi sports complex. And we were just wondering what your thoughts were on that as far as its importance and what potential impact that it might have on the region and the state.
Yeah, let me tell you, it's one of that old saying, you built it and they will come. Years ago, we took and put a sports tourism team together. We saw this industry growing and knowing that every place out of New Orleans did not have the expertise. They've been traveling the country. We went to Denver last year and met with the Olympic trials people. It's a real opportunity. It's going to be growing for the next many years. Other states are really taking advantage of it. You see, we had the Dizzy Dean World Series in Ruston, Olympic trials for volleyball in Shreveport. We've had judo, golf. These Olympic trials, in the last 10 years, we've seen over 100 hotels built outside of New Orleans. And it's been a lot supported by the sports industry and sports tourism. So it's one of those saying, you built it, they will come. It's growing all over the country. And surely we've got an opportunity to take advantage of it here in Louisiana.
I would really like to see it. And Caddo Parish is looking at it. Hopefully, if we're going to do it, let's do it right. I also want to shift gears. This is interesting. A new law just passing that makes releasing balloons illegal in Louisiana because it's now considered a form of littering.
Yeah, when I took over, when we moved Keep Louisiana Beautiful under my office 5 years ago, we've grown this. Used to have 50 groups clean up. This year, 100 groups doing a Love the Boot Week. We're going to be announcing Love Your Waterway Month in September. But what I've learned as we've started this mission to clean up Louisiana, there's a lot of balloons that end up in drainage, knocking out power, has killed baby cattle in the field, been wrapped around pelicans' necks, ingested by animals. And it's not just the balloons. One release in New Orleans was in balloons. And they come down in the waterways, in wooded areas, and all over the place. So we're just asking, like other states have done, put laws in place. If you want to bring balloons to an event, pop them and dispose of them properly. Or if you want to release something, get butterfly else that is more environmentally friendly. We're trying to tackle this litter thing on all fronts. And it was a much bigger problem than we thought. When you release them, you don't see where they come down. Mm. And more we're finding them all over in the wildlife, in the marsh. People have gotten them caught up in the propellers of their boats. So it is a bigger problem than we thought, and it doesn't have any control of where they come down. So hopefully people will abide by that law and can continue to clean up Louisiana.
Yeah, because there are really no, when you think about it, there are no biodegradable balloons.
Yeah, and if they do have some kind of biodegradable, or they come up with one, surely that would be something to consider allowing that. But for right now, we just want to do all we can to clean up our state and keep it clean.
You mentioned Love Your Waterways Project. What is this about?
So we're going to be announcing that you can sign up just like you did for Love the Boot Week. We're going to clean up every waterway in Louisiana. If you've got a boat, we're going to be giving out buckets with sacks to take out in your boat to clean up. If you don't have a boat, you can clean up along the shoreline. We're going to be cleaning up the banks of the Mississippi River. We're going to be partnering with all of the Ducks Unlimited, all those groups, CCA, all of the hunting and fishing groups and independent fishermen. And for that month, we're going to ask everybody to make a real effort to clean up all of our waterways. And hopefully that rolls over into keeping our waterways clean. If you litter for a day or you get a ticket for littering, you're 80% less likely to litter again. So the more people we can get involved, the better we can do at cleaning up our state.
Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser, thank you so much for talking with us. We hope you have a great weekend.
Always. Y'all have a great weekend, too. Thank you.
Thank you. Mike and McCarty, Thomas Avalone, and for Aaron, 1017 FM, 710Keel.com.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
One of the worst movies ever. On the TV behind me.
We've been a little distracted this morning by a terrible movie.
It's like 26 years now. It was from 2000. Is that what it?
Yeah.
2000.
Crocodile. It was a Tobe Hooper movie, famous for Texas Chainsaw Massacre, called Crocodile. And man, is it bad.
It is. Don't even need the sound on to know it. Courtesy of the Movie Hub Action Network.
You know acting is bad when it's bad and you don't even have the sound.
No. Yeah. We haven't heard a word of this movie.
But the good news is so that young man that was swallowed by the crocodile is okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
he was
swallowed whole by the crocodile.
But earlier, it did spawn a discussion where we were talking about movies with people doing bad. Because you asked me if I had seen the Superman movie.
Right.
The recent one.
It really bugs me.
I haven't seen a Superman movie in years.
Okay, well.
I've seen them since Christopher Reeves.
Right.
I've seen some, but not a lot.
Well, there haven't been many that you've really missed a whole lot.
That's kind of what I gathered.
One or two here or there.
But you said on this most recent one, what, Mr. and Mrs. Kent?
Kent. It really really bugs me because, as we know, Superman is from Kansas, and these are Kansas farmers.
Well, Clark Kent is from
Clark
Kansas.
Kent was raised in Kansas by Kansas farmers. And these folks are speaking as if they're from East Texas. And it really took me a minute.
And not a good representation.
I mean, not that there's anything wrong with an accent from East Texas. We've got our own accent here in Shreveport as well, but it is not a Kansas accent. It is not something that one would expect.
I mean, it was over-exaggerated. You said it was just bad.
Someone that thought they knew how people in Kansas talk, but they're wrong. And it really bugs me.
It's tough being from the South and hearing someone fake an accent.
That's true. It's horrible. And I remember thinking one of the most beloved movies filmed in Natchitoches.
That's right.
Had the worst accents ever.
I think this might be a hot take that you've got. You might be upsetting
Steel Magnolias.
Some people right now.
I know. And of course, based on the play.
Right.
Which is awesome, based on a true story of Robert Harling's sister.
Right.
I'm not disparaging the story.
A lot of local people found their way into that film, including you.
Well, I did find my way onto the set one time.
Right.
I snuck onto the set during the funeral scene and got to watch them film that.
Wow.
But in the court, now Ruben even commented. Even Dolly Parton, who's from Tennessee.
Yeah. She was even exaggerating.
Yeah. But a Tennessee accent is not a not a Natchitoches accent.
Right.
It's not a Louisiana accent.
But at least you can go, I can accept that.
You have to give them credit for not going full Cajun.
Well, that's true, too. But I'm sure Robert Harling probably had something to say about that.
Right.
Hey, we're not Cajun in Natchitoches.
Right.
But Daryl Hannah, as good of an actress as Daryl Hannah is,
right?
It was terrible.
Her accent did not.
We went to the Baptist bookstore up in Shreveport, and I got some decorations.
It did not interfere with her ability to do good hair.
Yes.
Ugh.
Speaking
of Cajun accents, my dad did not like Waterboy when it first came out.
I never saw Waterboy.
He felt it was
racist,
lampooning Louisiana people.
Probably was.
And it totally was. 100%. He was 100% right.
Right.
But he came around and realized it was funny later. So.
Yeah. I never saw that one.
Mama Boucher.
Boucher.
And I do like Adam Sandler. I think he's a great guy.
Well, he used to do on Saturday Night Live Cajun Man.
That's right.
Which I think that's where maybe that originated a little bit.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yes. Thomas Avalone in for Aaron. Thanks for coming out.
Oh, absolutely.
You'll be here tomorrow.
If you'll have me, I'll be here.
Awesome. Looking forward to it. 101.7 FM, 710 KEEL, Mike and McCarty.